Mother's Day in our family is a rather sad day, for it was Mother's Day 1950 when my father was buried. I was a college student at the time. I had all the cuts I could take. I preached revivals. We're only allowed 9 cuts. If you had 10 cuts, you failed everything you took. And I took up all of my cuts. We call them absences, excused absences now or something, unexcused absences. But I took up all my cuts so I could preach revivals around East Texas and little country churches. I was preaching every night almost somewhere. And the semester was drawing to an end, and I was pastoring a church out the edge of town. My father passed away on Saturday morning. We buried him on Sunday, and I was back in class on Monday. And so at our house, at least for my mother and my sister and me, Mother's Day is a day of sobriety. I want to talk to you for a while. I'm just going to talk to you this morning. So I want you to listen to me on purpose. The Bible is a book of detail. The more I read the Bible, the more astounded I am how that God never forgets the smallest thing. He says, not one jot or tittle shall pass away from the Word of God. That's like us saying, not one I, or dot of an I, or cross of a T. The Bible is a Bible of detail. Sometimes read the Bible and notice how carefully God describes every minute detail of everything that goes on. Consequently, nothing is in the Bible without a purpose. Nothing. Dotted throughout the New Testament, we have little statements that have to do with the mother of Jesus. Most of them are parenthetical. Most of them have nothing to do with the main body of the story. But certainly with a purpose, our Lord puts little statements, such as, and the mother of Jesus was there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Or, the mother of Jesus stood without. And so our Lord wanted us to know that Jesus' mother was always around. You know, one of the first things I do when I walk out on a Sunday, or Wednesday night for that matter, is try to spot Mama. I know whether I've got to behave or not during the sermon. And I always feel better if Mother's here. Sometimes she's unable to be here. Sometimes she's having a hangover on a Sunday morning from Saturday night out on the town. But I always feel better when Mother's here. I was talking to Mother yesterday. I guess I'm about the poorest son in the world. I'm gone so much, and I knew I'd be gone last night. I flew in this morning from Nashville, Tennessee. I preached there last night and woke up this morning in Nashville, Tennessee, and happened to think, good night, that tomorrow I'll be in Denver, Colorado, and I got to go to Hammond, preach 4 times between now and then. But I went to see Mother, and we drove around a while. And she said, son, God's been so good to me. And she was talking about the blessings of God in her life. You know, no doubt about it, on center stage in the Bible is Jesus. He's the central figure of this book. He is in the center ring of the performance. He is on center stage. He is the hero of this book. But everything he did, though the light was focused on him and the microphone was in his hands and before his mouth, everything he did, standing in the shadows, was his mother. Mother said to me yesterday, she said, son, I'm so glad I got to live to see your work. I'm so glad I got to live long enough to see your work and to see what God was going to do for you and maybe in a sense with you. It didn't matter what our Lord was doing, his mother was there. For example, he was performing a miracle. He had just performed one. He had cast out a devil and had preached the sermon about the unpardonable sin. And then the Bible parenthetically says, the mother of Jesus stood without. You recall in John chapter 2, he performed his first miracle. He is about to perform the first miracle. He's never yet opened a blind eye. He's never yet caused a lame person to leap like a hart, or the dumb to speak, or the dead to live, or the blind to see, or the deaf to hear. He's never yet reached out and raised someone from the bed of affliction. He's about to perform his first miracle. The spotlight of eternity is about to focus on Jesus. But before it does, the first line of the first verse, of the first miracle, it simply says, and the mother of Jesus was there. Isn't that sweet? The light is on him, but the mother of Jesus was there. The light is on him when he cast the demon out, but the mother of Jesus stood without. The light is on him as he turns the water into wine and feeds the people at the wedding reception. The light is on him, and well, it ought to be on him. But the Holy Spirit led the writer to simply say, the mother of Jesus was there. Now he's on the cross. In John 19:25, we have it told, he's on the cross. God in flesh is dying for sin. He who knew no sin has become sin. And the nails in his hands and feet, and the crown of thorns is on his brow. Jesus is on the cross. And the Bible says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. His mother. Now he's gone back to heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. The 120 are praying in the upper room. Pentecost is about to come. 3,000 people are about to get saved. The power of God's about to fall on the church, and the message of Jesus is about to be preached. But in that upper room, the Bible says, at that prayer meeting, now the mother of Jesus was there. She's always there. You could always count on his mother. He didn't pay her much attention because he was so busy, but she was always there. Don't you think time and time again our Lord took comfort and strength when he looked out and saw his mother in the crowd? Don't you think that time and time again that little unseen soldier about whom not much is said in the Bible and who gets more praise than she ought to get by one of the leading denominations who tried to deify her and make her the mother of God? That little silent lady from Nazareth, the poor humble girl from the hills of Nazareth, who came to Bethlehem and had no room to deliver her baby except a stable because there was no room for them in the inn. Not much is said. Not the light has hardly ever shined upon Mary. She hardly ever gets the microphone. She's in the shadows. He performs a miracle, and standing in the shadows is Mary. And the Bible said one time she pondered all these things in her heart. She never said much. She just pondered all these things in her heart. You know, I was thinking on the airplane this morning, that's the way all great mothers are. This stupid women's liberation movement, these masculine idiots, that women's liberation, most miserable wretches in this world, are these women that want to get liberated. Women ought not to be liberated. They ought to be on balls and chains. I think I said something wrong. I don't think I'm simply saying that's not what makes a woman happy. Listen, the thing that makes happy a godly woman is when she sits idly and watches another, maybe a son, maybe a daughter, maybe a father, maybe a husband. She watches him, and in the shadows, she ponders these things in her heart. This morning, there's a young man standing to preach. In fact, he's preaching now in Rock Island, Illinois. Fine young preacher, Mel Brown. I was thinking this morning about what made that young man in the shadows There was a mother. Out soul winning, faithful to God, praying for her son. Her son was an atheist, almost an agnostic. But the mother kept on praying. She kept on going. She kept on working. And now with delight and pride, she sits in the audience often and watches that young man and hears that son as he preaches the wonderful gospel of Christ. And the mother of Mel Brown was there. I was thinking this morning about dear Mrs. Loser. God gave her a boy, and he's going to teach in our high school this fall. Boys back in the back in the middle. You two boys sitting next to the aisle back there. Hey, turn around and look at me while I'm preaching. Very idea of misbehaving. Look at me, son. Set up straight. Look at me. The fellow behind the little cripple lady, would you put his head around her? I can see it. Would you please? Brother Barnes, two seats behind you. Would you get that boy? That's it. He's all right now. He knows what I'm talking about. That's good. You look at me, son. You keep your eyes on me. I was thinking this morning about Mrs. Loser. Larry Loser sang in my class this morning. And then the three good boys in the family. Everybody has a Judas. Even Jesus had one Judas. Larry's a graduate of Tennessee Temple College, and going to teach in our high school this fall. Then there's David, who's pastoring a church over at Tenley Park. And then there's Dick, who's a gospel ventriloquist. He's like I am. He carries a dummy around with him everywhere he goes. I have three of them I carry around with me everywhere I go. But he's going to be a preacher. And now, the youngest boy, Alan, has turned his life to preach. And there that mother, godly mother, has four preacher boys. You talk about a rich lady. Huh? You talk about a rich lady. But it didn't happen accidentally. I've prayed with that little lady, counseled with her. She's called me and said, Brother Howells, I think Larry's going to go to the penitentiary as sure as shooting. What are we going to do about Larry? And we would undergird the foundation of the thing and try to get him a good girlfriend. We couldn't. He got Pat instead. We'd undergird the thing and we'd pray. Finally, Larry turned out okay. And then there came David. And I recall Mrs. Loser would call and say, Brother Howells, pray for David. This girl is going with. I wish she'd go with somebody else. You know, it's wonderful to have a nosy mother, isn't it? Huh? You don't much think so now, but later on, you'll thank God you did. And we prayed for David. And finally, David went off to school and married one of our lovely girls here at the church. Now he's pastor of a church. Well, that's two down, two to go. And there came along Dick. And she'd called me and said, Brother Howells, I'm worried about Dick. Brother Howells, pray for Dick. And she died 1,000 deaths. And now Dick is a fine preacher boy. Then came along Alan, and we're worried about him. We're trying to make something out of him. And Miss Loser called me on the phone the other day, and she said, Brother Hiles, she said, I just got one to go. That's all. That's all. We were talking a little while about it, and she said, Oh, Brother Hiles, you'll never know what you've meant to my boys. That's not it. I pastored a lot of boys. I pastored a lot of boys that don't even go to church now. I know what it is. It's when God gives a boy a mother who stands in the shadows, who stands somewhere in the shadows and prays and hopes and teaches and works and brings and does without and oftentimes weeps, standing somewhere in the shadows. I don't care who the man is. Did you ever stop and think about this? How many great men had fathers that weren't worth shooting? But you don't find many great men that had mothers that weren't worth shooting. I could stand here right now and call off name after name after name of great men of God in history who had dads who were prisoners, who were drunkards, who were alcoholics, who were derelicts, who were lawbreakers, who never did anything right or decent, but I could count on the right fingers of my right hand the great preachers that I've ever known or heard of who didn't have a mother standing somewhere in the shadows. behind that great Moses who took that rod and smote the Jordan River and walked over on dry ground, and 3.5 million Jews came after him. Behind him was a sweet little mother Jochebed who's dabbing the ark with pitch and placing it in the Nile River, trying to protect the life of her son. Behind that great John the Baptist who said, he must increase and I must decrease. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The Bible says not a greater person ever born of woman than John the Baptist. Behind John the Baptist was that lovely Elizabeth standing somewhere in the shadows. This morning, next Sunday morning, Brother Tom Smith will become pastor of another church. He'll pastor Dr. L.C. Stewart's church. Tom Smith is how old, Mrs. Adelaide? How old is Tom? 25. Can you feature it? That building there is worth probably, I guess, $750,000, wouldn't you think? And Tom Smith is pastor, 25, of that church, and fine church. Terry Smith is growing a great church down in Longview, Texas. And Tim is going full-time in the ministry, graduating from college, Tennessee Temple, this month. Wonder how it all happened. Standing somewhere in the shadows was a mother who was talking. Somebody said, behind every great man, there are several women that say, you never spend enough time at home. Standing somewhere in the shadows. I used to worry a great deal about taking an entire service to honor the mothers. I used to think that was wrong. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I couldn't do it. But one day I noticed that suddenly our Lord is on the cross. Now follow this. Our Lord is on the cross. God incarnate has become flesh. Nailed to the cross. And with him were nailed our sins, the law, the ritual. Jesus, God's Son, dying on the cross. Bodies on the cross with the angels looking down. And God the Father about to turn his back on his Son because he will not look on sin. Jesus has on himself all of our sins. And all of a sudden, eternity hushes. Angels look down from heaven to hear what he saith. He'll say, and all of hell looks up. Shh. He's about to speak. I wonder what he'll say. You think he'll teach us some great theological truth? You think he's going to call 10,000 angels? Shh! He's about to speak. Listen as he speaks. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Isn't that something for the Son of God to say at the biggest hour in eternity? Isn't that something to say when all of the theological truths come into one great source, from one great source into one great stream, for the Son of God, God incarnate, on the cross, dying, to open his mouth and say, John, take care, Mama. Isn't that precious? Isn't that sweet? John, take care of Mama. And I'm so glad, Brother Fisk, I'm so glad that after Mary had stayed in the shadows, when the rich man came, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus, but Mary stayed in the shadows. When Simeon picked up his body, he said, now let us thy servant depart in peace. And Jesus had the light on him, and Mary stood in the shadows. When Anna the prophetess saw him and was so pleased, she praised and worshipped Jesus, but Mary stayed in the shadows. When he was questioning those men in the second chapter of Luke, questioning the teachers and doctors in the temple, the light shined upon him, but Mary stood in the shadows. When he performed his first miracle, all eyes were on him, but Mary stood in the shadows. When he cast out the demon, all the eyes were focused upon him. He was on center stage, but Mary stood in the shadows. When he was on the cross, the Bible says, Mary was there, still in the shadows. But all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus says to whoever operates that big floodlight up there, shine it on Mother! Shine it on Mother! And all of eternity looks,
as the floodlight of eternity is taken away from the Son of God dying on the cross, and the light of heaven shines on a little lady, and Jesus says, "Behold, thy mother." And all of a sudden, the microphone is taken away from the Son of God and placed in the hands of the one who usually stood in the shadows. One of the sweetest things in all the Bible to me. And so think it not strange this morning, if for 364 days we preach the gospel, but for one day we shine the light on the one who normally is in the shadows. I don't know whether you noticed it or not. We made no announcements this morning about Baptist City. We made no announcements this morning about our high school. We made no announcements this morning about our church loan fund. We made no announcements this morning about our summer activities. For one morning, I wanted the entire light to focus on our mothers. God was good to me in giving me a precious mother. Oh, my name is on the sign. I guess it is. If not, I'm going to put it on her. My name's on the sign. And in the paper every Friday, I think Mrs. McKinney, most of the Fridays, puts my picture. If she doesn't, I'll check with her and see that she does from now on. I have 18 books, and all 18 of my books have my name on the front, and a few of them have my picture, high school graduation picture. Fellow walked up the other day, and he had my book, Kisses of Calvary. He said, "Did your son write this?" I said, "How would you like to eat without any teeth tonight?" Yeah, my name's on the book. But there wouldn't be any book, a radio ministry. There wouldn't be any Jack Hiles to travel across the country had there not been someone who stood in the shadows, who never got much attention, who never got much praise, who when she was 8, her mother died. She had to cook for the entire family. When she was too young, she got married because she had no mother. She made a mistake, I think. She probably wouldn't think so, but she married a man who was a drunkard. He was buried 22 years ago today. And God gave them a little girl. The little girl got up a few months old. She noticed that the little girl was not responding properly. And soon she found the girl was afflicted. She never walked. She never talked. She never said mommy or daddy. She laid in bed for 7 years. And my mother watched over her for 7 years. An afflicted daughter who couldn't speak, and a husband who was drinking. Finally, another baby was born. She lived to be 7. Had the measles. She got well, they thought, but she had a relapse, and she was taken. And at 7, my mother had taken 2 trips out to the little cemetery and buried side by side in Italy, Texas this morning, her 2 little bodies. Been there for years and years and years. And then God gave her my sister Earlene, and she lived, and that's the biggest tragedy of all. Think of those 3 tragedies. Lorraine dying, Hazel dying, and Earlene living. God always wants the best for himself. And then she had me. I weighed 11 and a half pounds. Think of that. 11 and a half pounds. I was 13 before I gained a pound. And then Dad turned to liquor. The depression came, and I saw her wave goodbye to Dad. He never came back inside the house again. Never. Then World War II came, and I went off to the service, and she was alone. And I came back.
Now, I see to it she's cared for. My sister helps to see she's cared for. She stood in the shadows. She represents hundreds of others this morning in this room who are just as dear and as precious to God as my mother is, and who have just as much a part of this church as my mother does. I don't know what we'd do without you. This morning, I'd like to take the floodlight and focus it off of myself. I'd like for us to forget we have a high school for this morning. I'd like for us to forget that we have a college we're going to open. I'd like to do what Jesus did as he was on the cross. I'd like to shine the light on our mothers and say three words to every mother in this room. Happy Mother's Day. Let us pray. Our Father, if thy Son needed someone in the shadows, so do we. If thy Son needed someone about whom it could be said, the mother of Jesus was there, so do we. If the Son of God in his darkest hour needed a mother to stand beside him, so do we. If you saw fit in your wisdom to, even on the cross, to have a brief pause to take care of a mama, then we today pause to honor these who mean so much to our church and so much to this preacher, our mothers. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If God has given you a Christian mother, won't you thank him for her now? Won't you thank him for her now? If your mother's in heaven this morning, won't you thank him that you can see her again? And it won't be long. It won't be long. The finest thing you can do for your mother is to live for Christ. I've thought about this so often. I don't spend much time with my mother, not as much time as I wish I could. But I'm trying to honor my mother by making the investment she made in me reap the greatest dividends possible. That's what every mother wants. Every mother wants a child to live for God. Every mother wants a child who's honorable. Every mother wants a child who can make her happy and proud and bring honor to her name. Every mother wants a child who will carry on what she's taught. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, whether your mother is alive or on into heaven, the best way you can honor her is to receive Christ as your Savior. In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing. Every eye is closed, every head is bowed. If this morning you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and come down the aisle and make this Mother's Day, 1972, the day when you say, yes, I do become a Christian. Mothers, you ought to do it. Children, you ought to do it. For Jesus' sake, but for mother's sake. This morning, if you're a mother, come to Christ. If you want to honor your mother, come to Christ. If you have not been baptized, do so this morning. If you need to join a church, do so this morning. Let your life count so as to use carefully and invest wisely the investment of your mother. Girls on the front row, you close your eyes. Would you come this morning, trusting the Savior, coming for baptism, transferring that membership? Would you come? In a moment, we're going to stand and sing. When we do, I'm going to ask you, if you've never received Christ, to come down the aisle and do so. If you never have joined a church, though you're saved, or need to transfer a membership, come down the aisle and do so. If this morning you need to get baptized, come down the aisle. We'll baptize you before you go home. On Mother's Day, 1972, receive the Savior. Be baptized. Join an old-fashioned church. Live for God. Bring honor to the one who was always standing somewhere in the shadows. Father, bless the invitation. Honor our mothers by our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.